SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people of Buzzler, but everybody else in between. Sunday Bloody Sunday has begun. SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio Networks will welcome our AM radio affiliates momentarily. The National Football League regular season and postseason is done. The Kansas City Chiefs win Super Bowl 57, 38-35. Final score, Patrick Mahomes winning his second Super Bowl most valuable player, his second Super Bowl championship. Although, statistically, Patrick Mahomes did throw three touchdowns. It was Jalen Hurts who lit it up, 27-38, 304 yards, a touchdown pass. Jalen Hurts also ran for 70 yards and three touchdowns, four combined touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts also fumbled a football that was returned for a touchdown. And there was a small margin of error in this football game, 38-35. Kansas City is victorious. The game obviously goes over the number. We absolutely crushed it along the way. We're going to break it down. Mo Khan is going to step up and in. Tony Finn joins us from Las Vegas. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, shares his thoughts as Patrick Mahomes wills the Kansas City Chiefs to victory this evening. And the Philadelphia Eagles join the Atlanta Falcons as the only teams to blow double-digit leads at the half in a Super Bowl. They were 26-1 before the meltdown today. Teams that had a double-digit lead at halftime in Super Bowl history were 26-1. The lone loss by the Falcons, of course, when they led by 18 points at the half against the New England Patriots. It was all about tonight. It was all about who was going to have the ball last, it seemed. And Kansas City ended up having the ball last tonight. Patrick Mahomes, the first player in NFL history to win multiple championships and multiple MVPs within his first six seasons. And Patrick Mahomes' resume is now two Super Bowl championships, a regular season MVP, Super Bowl MVPs. He's led in the NFL in passing. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. So this is his year. This is just his year. So he won the MVP, won the Super Bowl, led the NFL in passing touchdowns, and he led the NFL in passing yards. Complete dominance. Only three players have done this in their career. Get this. Only three players have done it in a whole career, what Mahomes has done in one season. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Kurt Warner. Like, he's basically done, like, all, like, their, you know, is he going to do, you know, is he going to rack up six? No, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, they're damn good. They're a hard team to beat. And one of these teams, good thing about the Chiefs is they're not, like, predicated. As long as Mahomes is there, they have a chance of winning, right? Like, they're not built. Like, losing Travis Kelce would be big. Losing Hill is one thing. If they lost Travis Kelce, that would be a problem for real. But as long as they have Mahomes, it doesn't really matter, right? They got Sky Moore. You know what I mean? They had, you know, the Tony. Right, you know, they didn't exactly have like big time play defensively. As long as they have this coaching staff, they're always going to be there, right? You know what I mean? Some teams like the Rams won a Super Bowl last year. We all knew they were going to suck this year. It was like, yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl, they're going to be bad for years to come. The Chiefs are going to be good for years to come. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Welcome to our annual Sports Rage post-game Super Bowl breakdown. Of course, the Kansas City Chiefs are victorious. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and it's Patrick Mahomes' world, and we're just living in it. There were a lot of trends that were going against the Kansas City Chiefs coming into this football game. The regular season MVP hadn't won the Super Bowl since 1999 and Kurt Warner, but we said if there's one guy that's good enough to overcome that, it is Patrick Mahomes. The last six quarterbacks to lead the National Football League in passing yards had all lost in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes overcomes that. There was a lot of stuff that Patrick Mahomes has overcome, and I'm not one of these dudes that like anoints people the greatest this and the greatest that earlier in their careers, but let's just be real. Patrick Mahomes really is one of the greatest ever to do it already. I mean, you know, what more can you say about this dude that just finds ways to win football games? I mean, you know, look at the season that he's had here. Regular season MVP, Super Bowl MVP, led the National Football League in passing touchdowns, led the National Football League in passing yards. Absolutely epic season from Patrick Mahomes and a spectacular performance by the Kansas City Chiefs tonight in, you know, collectively as a team. It really was a collective team effort. You know, Tony stepping up with the big punt return at the time. That was a massive play. The Kansas City Chiefs defense doing just enough to throw Jalen Hurts off when they needed it the most. A classic Super Bowl. Philadelphia Eagle fan upset about the defensive holding penalty that was called on Bradberry late in the football game. I understand the frustration. I understand the pain of losing. But you need to understand that it actually was defensive holding. If that play happens on like a first down, they don't call it, right? It, you know, it was defensive holding and it did impede him from catching the football. Oh, you can't call that. So what? It means the defense gets to do whatever the hell they want to do and the offense doesn't get to catch the football? There's a lot of stuff to unpack. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Super Bowl 57 is done. And it was a classic game. That was a great football game. It really was. And, man, really? I don't know why I'm going to start getting into ranking Super Bowls, but it was intense. It was intense. There was great plays being made. Guys were stepping up. Everybody, like, it wasn't just like a couple of guys making plays. That's what was special about this game to me. Like, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, like, you know what I mean? Like, game ball, okay, Patrick Mahomes, fine. But, like, really, everybody made plays on the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Mahomes, 21-27 on one leg. Yet he stepped up with some big-time rushes, 6 carries for 44 yards. You know, they got outstatted, but they just made big plays. But, you know, Isaiah Pacheco, you know, kid's a rookie, steps up, 15 carries, 76 yards. Jerick McKinnon, who I didn't think was going to, you know, go over 9.5 long rush, you know, stepped up with some big-time plays, man. 4 rushes, 34 yards. McKinnon, 3 catches, 15 yards. Juju Smith-Schuster had a nice couple of drives in the second half when they needed him. Right, it was like they needed somebody besides Kelce, who was getting double teamed, to step up. And Smith-Schuster, 7 catches, 53 yards. Travis Kelce, he had guys all over him. 6 catches, 81 yards. Yards goes over, reception stays under. Justin Watson, a couple of catches for 18. A collective team effort. Kadarius Toney, only 1 catch for 5 yards, but of course he stepped up with that massive punt return. Kadarius Toney, 2 punt returns, 77 yards, including a 65-yarder that was really pretty much the football game. Right, as I stated, just a complete team effort on offense. Everybody contributed, and Kansas City defensively, even though they kind of got gashed, they made enough plays. Now they made one more play than Philadelphia did. We'll put it that way. Mo Khan, is Mo ready to step up and in? Let's get Mo Khan Super Bowl 57 breakdown. Mo Khan, TSN Radio, former wide receiver, Concordia University, and more. Mo, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight? What did you think of Super Bowl 57?
Two things, Gabe. Game's great, and your jacket's super sick, my friend. That is a sick starter jacket you got down the easy, my friend.
Oh, you like that? I appreciate that. Sorry, I voted no. You like that? Would scooped you up well? But I tell you, this one sold out. It's not even on the website for some reason. They have like a million really cool jackets. Like there were some cool Arizona ones with the Grand Canyon on the back and sort of desert theme stuff. And there were some cool ones, but this one just sort of caught my eye, Mo. I got this at a store near the convention center, like NFL sanctioned stuff, but the stores had some stuff. And I saw this. I was like, yeah, this is perfect for me. This is the one I want. And I swear, they only had two left on the wall. Fortunately, this one fit, so I scooped it up.
Yeah, I saw you with McAfee. I go, holy bleep, that's a sick jacket. That gear.
You got to look good when you're going on the McAfee show. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, look and feel good, man. But no, to answer your question, yeah, the game was a fantastic game. I know people are sunk on that penalty by Bradbury, but you think about it, and I'll give you the analogy. This is like a boxing match, right? The Eagles were winning on points, right? Time of possession, control of the narrative. But the Chiefs in the second half of the box match got those knockout blows, those key body blows that enabled them to win that football game. And I just thought that halftime came at a prime moment for the Chiefs to kind of regroup, refocus, and allow Mahomes to kind of just calm his nerves down. Because at that point, Gabe, right before halftime, he was reeling. He was not playing well. He was off the football field, I think, for a good 15 to 18 minutes of real time, you know, on the clock that it was. So I just think that halftime came at a blessing for them. And I think in the second half, Andy Reid made the key adjustments, and that's why they won the Lombardi Trophy for the second time in the last 4 years.
I think as well, Mo, what a difference it would have made that if they were down 14 instead of 10 at the half, right? It just was a field goal there. But, I said it all week. I said, you know what? Yeah, Philadelphia have a deeper team. You want to go man-to-man, talent versus talent, okay. But there's an intangible to winning a football game as well. And I thought the Kansas City had the intangibles, but the Philadelphia Eagles guys had more first downs. The Philadelphia Eagles had more third down conversions. The Philadelphia Eagles ran way more plays. They had more passing yards. They had more total yards. And they dominated the time of possession. You know what it reminded me of this game? Even though it was higher scoring, was the Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants. We're going back a ways. But what I saw in the first half, the Kansas City Chiefs, like, let's see how many minutes they ended up with in the end. But what I saw in the first half, that they only had the ball for 8 minutes. I was like, they're a lot. That's not good. So they ended up getting the ball for 24 minutes when it was all said and done. So they did better with the time of possession. But I remember the Buffalo Bills, when they lost to the Giants on the Norwood kick, it was 20-19. And the Bills only had the ball for 19 minutes in a game. Remember Otis Anderson kept getting first downs all the time and bleeding the clock on them. And they set a record. The Bills set a record, a point a minute. No one ever did that in the Super Bowl. they scored 19 points and had the ball for 19 minutes only. And I was sort of thinking it was the same thing, except KC found the way to win at the end with the field goal. Buffalo didn't. You know what I mean? Like, Buffalo got dominated sort of by time of possession and all that, but every time they got the ball, they scored. And it was the same thing with KC. When they got the ball, they scored. They just, you know, Philadelphia had the ball so long all the time, it was like Mahomes was on the sidelines for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and the thing is, you asked me last Sunday in the last segment, what would be a key for the Chiefs to win the football game? And I said their O-line would be key, because remember, right, 2 years ago, they got throttled by the Buccaneers front seven, and they invested into their O-line. Mahomes didn't get sacked once. He had a couple of pressures here and there, but he had a clean pocket game. And what was surprising, because the Eagles, you know, they had a lot of sacks this past season, and they did it with the front four only, no blitz required. They couldn't get to Mahomes. And that was a key storyline that I thought played out in the second half, where, you know, when you thought they would come up with a big play, they couldn't get a finger on Mahomes. And I thought that was massive in how well that Chiefs O-line played in that football game. They said, look, we can weather the storm, but we just got to make sure we keep our focus. And that's what they did. And they were able to lock down that front seven and win that football game for the Chiefs.
Mo, I brought this up earlier. There's a lot of things. We got to get your take on the penalty call. I, for one, think it was a penalty. But I wanted to get something. You talked about the Eagles and the defensive line. There were times that they did get to him, but Mahomes is so crafty, isn't he? Right? Like, just, you know, it's amazing. It looks like, oh, they got him. And he just finds that little seam and crease, and he doesn't take off, but he just sort of dances around, and he buys some more time. And he did it time and time again. But I brought this up earlier. The field conditions were bad. All right, so they painted the field. It was clearly a problem. But I found it interesting. Aaron Andrews said that the Philadelphia Eagle players, for the most part, changed their cleats at halftime. But the Kansas City Chiefs did not. Yet, I thought that the Eagle players were the ones that were slipping around more. I don't know if it was in their head or because they look, they went through a couple of pairs of cleats and they were still sliding around. And you know, how many times did you see Hassan Reddick coming from the outside, bro? He flat out slipped a couple of times and kind of fell. There were a couple other times where like it didn't take much to stop him because he wasn't getting any traction. I guarantee you, if you spoke to him, he would tell you that it really was upsetting that he couldn't get any real traction going. But that's on the training staff and that's on him, man. Right? Everybody's running on the same carpet there, bro.
Yeah, and the thing is, from where it's tonight, right, the turf was resodded, and it was done locally in Phoenix about 2.5 weeks ago. So the thing is, it's kind of like baseball glove, right? You have to work in the baseball glove to fit your feet or your hand, right?
Yeah, it's too new, you're saying, because they put a new field in, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So there wasn't – and the thing is, I believe they don't allow to have practices on that field until game day. So the players did not really get a chance to really work their feet or the cleats or the studs into the turf until warm-ups of Sunday afternoon. So just think that, you know, there's got to be a better protocol in place for them to kind of say, look, we'll give your team a day or two to kind of get comfortable with it, but don't mess it up for Sunday afternoon football.
There have been complaints in the past about this turf at this stadium that it's slippery as well for whatever reason. King Ganja in Dallas tuning in on 97.1 The Freak says A.J. Brown slipped on a couple of different cuts as well. He did. But as I stated, figure it out. Get the right cleats. Tape your feet up. Do what you got to do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't cut out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
Philadelphia had 25 first downs. Kansas City, 21. Philadelphia ran 72 total plays. Kansas City ran 53 plays. Total yards were pretty close. Philadelphia, 417. Kansas City, 340. And you know what we said earlier? KC just did a little bit more. You know, like if it was a boxing match, as Mo Khan with us discussed, it was like Philadelphia racking up, you know, nice combos and punches and stuff. But Kansas City had the flashier rounds, Mo. You know what I'm saying? Late. Like, you know, it was like, they're up. Philadelphia are up like 4-2 on the card through six rounds or something like that. And then sort of like Mayweather, Mahomes. You know, I remember that was Mayweather's deal all the time. Well, he was also betting on the over of the fight, so he'd wait to finish you. He'd wait. He knew he was good enough. He knew he wouldn't sell pay-per-views if he finished fights too early. Even though it wasn't a knockout artist, he could embarrass people if he wanted to. You know what I mean? It's like he carried right. Connor. He said, nah, I know people paid. Like, I'll give you 20 minutes or something here, and then I'll finish it. Like, but the champions respond late, Mo, right? It's about making plays late. Yet this isn't a case that Philadelphia didn't make plays. You know, they just ran out of time. It's one of those, it was a great game. I don't think Philadelphia can hang their head and look, oh, we choked. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. We should have stopped this. You lost to a great quarterback. You lost to one of the greatest ever to do it. It was a close game. It could have went either way. You fell short, but I don't think Philadelphia have anything to be ashamed about. And I don't think they choked or anything like that. Philadelphia Eagle fan didn't like the didn't like the penalty call. What was your take on the Bradberry defensive holding call on Schuster?
Right call. And you heard Bradberry post game say, yeah, I held him, right? Because he knew he was beat. And
so Bradberry admitted it after.
That's right. In the post game, he said, like, I held him, you know? And I think what people don't realize is that it was the first contact where Bradberry held him, not at the end of the route where they thought it was called for. It was where he initially held him on the line of scrimmage. that was the call. That was the correct call. And even Gene Steratore said it on the radio. That's what it was. He said, look, you know, that can happen. Like, the referees made the right call in that play. And unfortunately for Bradbury, he got exposed for it. And this thing, look, Gabe, we think about the Eagles now. Last year when you and I were conversing after the loss to the Buccaneers, our question was, would Jalen Hurts be the quarterback of this team in 2023? And he's earned that right now. They made some great moves in the offseason. They made some great moves in season. And now for the move towards this offseason, can they continue to get those right guys in place here and kind of build up what they want to be? They got $8 million in cap space as we speak. So you're going to start Jalen Hurts this offseason here. And can you build around that franchise to say, look, we can definitely make another run again. Maybe not this year, or maybe in 2 years from now where we do a reload again here and get ourselves back to where we want to be. And look, to the Rams. Remember, they lost to the Patriots in 2019. They ended up winning the Lombardi Trophy the last season. Same parallel could happen for Nick Sirianni and this Eagles team moving forward.
It's interesting to hear the different perspectives on the call. Chiefs wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster said it was 100% holding. So Juju Smith said, when asked if it was, if he thought it was holding, well, what's he going to say? No. Yes, he said, I thought it was 100% holding. Bradbury says after, it was holding. I tugged his jersey. I was hoping they would let it slide. There it is. Like, he admits it, guys, right? But my deal is, Mo, if this happens, people say you can't call in that spot. I believe you have to call it in that spot. If it's the first quarter of the game, I don't call that. You know what I mean? If it's the first quarter of the game, you know, and it's at midfield or something, or, you know what I mean, it's a 3rd and 18, if it doesn't affect it, but it affected the game, that play. It's like tripping someone in front of the net, bro. Like, yeah, I get it. You want to let a lot of stuff go late in a tie hockey game for the Stanley Cup final. But at the same point in time, you can't let everything go. And you can't impede someone from an opportunity of getting a first down like that. He held him. He admitted that he held him. There it is for Eagle fan out there. James Bryan's own words. He in his own words, it was holding. Actually, he goes, it was a holding. If I want to read it correctly. It was a holding. I tugged his jersey. I was hoping they would let it slide. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni wouldn't blame the loss on the officials. Class act. You know, it's not my job to. I mean, you'll see me on the sideline. I'm going to argue with different things and calls here and there, but it's not my job to make that call. Those guys have to do it in a split second. That's what he saw, and he called it. I know what it always appears to be, the one call that makes a difference. That's not what it is, right? That's not what it is. There are many plays that contributed to the end result of the game, and today they were the better team than we were. Pretty class act after the game. I always say the same thing, right? Like Adele said, I hate to, like, you know what I mean? I get it. When there's been way worse calls in the playoffs, guys, than this. Look, so 73 to 52 plays, 125 plays ran. You can't say that play decided the game. And Bunker would have made the kick anyways. They would have had a little bit more time to tie the game. But props to Nick Sirianni for owning it, and props to Bradbury for admitting that he held.
Yeah, and not only that, though, if there's a weak spot for the Eagles defense, it's their secondary. And if you're a Bradbury, you said it in postgame, and even last week when he was on NFL Media Row, if there's one weakness, is that the Eagles always bite on double moves. You look at Travis Kelce's first touchdown grab. It was on a double move, right? The Eagles were caught looking like tourists at times on some long developing routes by the Chiefs, and they were all double moves. And I just think that, you know, in that situation, it goes back to the point we made earlier in the segment, Gabe, is that the front four couldn't get to Mahomes, and that exposed the Eagles' back end and for big plays and in key moments on third downs, as we saw in that last drive for that game-winning field goal. So I just think that, you know, the Eagles, you know, they have to figure out moving forward here that there were some collapses on some touchdowns, on communication and all that stuff here. If they're going to take that next step, they got to be much more assertive and much more confident than what they couldn't be against the Chiefs on Sunday nights.
Jalen Hurts sets a Super Bowl record for most rushing yards by a quarterback with 3. Most rushing yards by a quarterback. I'm surprised with his 70 that it wasn't higher. But he didn't get the win, and it's all that matters. And that fumble was massive. You know, we could talk about that penalty. That fumble was massive. As great as he played, that scoop and score was a massive difference maker in this football game, Mo.
It was. It really was. And you think about the offside call before that play.
Yes, sir. That led to it. It would have been first down. It led to it after. Good. You're right.
It would have been first down, and that's 7 points that the Chiefs don't get.
It's always the little things.
It's the little things like that. And that's what you saw. Hurts tried to tell us all, and don't worry about it, guys. We got this. But you saw what happened, right? He tried transitioning the football from his left to right hand, and he just lost his focus. He took his eyes off the football, got caught in two minds of what he wanted to execute. And look, it was a costly loss of points for the Eagles. And you think about the point that, you know, they went for field goals late, you know, on late drives and all that here. But Gabe, at the end of the day, though, when Jalen Hurts is running the football 15 times for 7 yards, Miles Sanders, who you thought would be the key player for this, Kenneth Gainwell, they have all had great second halves of the seasons. They were nowhere to be found, and they said, look, we're going to make Jalen Hurts beat us not only with his arm, but with his legs, and they pounded him at times here, the Chiefs front seven. So I think Steve Spagnuolo, even though he got beat in the first drive and on that big play by A.J. Brown for that touchdown in the second quarter, the reality was Spagnuolo had a really good game plan in place, and frankly, the Eagle O-line did not play as well as they should have to win that football game for the Eagles as they did during the earlier parts of this playoff race that they had.
I expected it, though. I thought that they would do just enough to throw them off kilter and get Jalen, you know, running a little bit, you know, making him throw it a little bit quicker than he wanted to. Spagnuolo does a great job with the schemes. They really do. It was a real collective team effort. Everybody earned their Super Bowl ring on this football team, including Chad Henne. Right? Including Chad Henne, yeah. Man. What a massive, massive drive that he had against the Jacksonville Jaguars, marching them down the field 95 yards like he did, Mo.
Yeah. Yeah. And you think about this team here, Gabe. I mean, look, they acquired Kadarius Toney in midway through the season, right? Many thought Kadarius Toney would be out of the NFL. And what did Andy Reid do? Took him under his wing and said, look, we want you to make plays. And that's what he did. He made plays for this football team in the second half. Pacheco. We didn't know who he was, right? No one knew he went to Rutgers and played for Greg Schiano. He came in and he made plays in the second half. Sky Moore, you think about what happened to him, right? He came with a lot of hype that he would be the next big receiver for the Chiefs. And what did he do? He got demoted during the regular season. He made plays. You made the point with McAfee, right? Juju Smith-Schuster would be a big impact player. Even though he didn't score the first touchdown, he made plays in the second half.
So yeah, he was big in the big time moments, man. He came up, he was getting open. He really stepped up large in the fourth quarter.
No question, Gabe. And every guy that they brought in to replace Tyreek Hill all made plays in the collective force that they were. I know Tyreek has the speed, but they brought in 3, 4, 5 guys here, and all those guys were influential in that second half that went over the Eagles.
And Chad Henne has announced his retirement after tonight's football game. He posts a picture on Instagram calling it a career, capping it off with a Bud Light and another ring. And he's drinking a beer on the field. Good for him. Good for him. Hell of a quarterback at Michigan. Hell of a career in the National Football League. You know, starter, longtime backup. Gets a couple of Super Bowl rings. It didn't just, you know. There's been times when Mahomes is out. Every time Mahomes got hurt, Chad Henne played well for them, Mo. He did. Yep. He did last year as well, right? In the playoffs, dude. He played in that Browns game for them. Like, Chad Henne has been a baller for them. More with Mo Khan on the other side. We'll get to the most important question of the night. Is Rihanna pregnant? This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For you.
I know, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's $1 million game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
So you're going to be sweeping up nails at the beauty parlor, Marge. The XFL is back. Kicks off next week. Unfortunately, the National Football League is over. Ugh. The NFL offseason is too long. It's too long. But they need to, the season's, you know, the season's also, you know, getting long as well. So their bodies need time to heal. They need time to do stupid things and get arrested. Like, idol's time is the devil's time, man. I'll tell you what. Speaking of which, I don't really know about this Michael Irvin thing. Everybody was asking me about that because I was there. But the thing is, Mo Khan with us, when you're there, Mo, you're almost like, it's almost like being at a football game. You know less than when you're watching on TV. You know what I mean? And I almost want to say, like, you know, when you're in the comp, when you're there, you end up in your own little bubbles and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm there, but I'm also at BetMGM. I'm at the MGM Sportsbook for like 3 hours a day doing the show at the State Farm Stadium, which was super cool. But I'm there. So, like, I don't know what the hell Michael Irvin's doing in a hotel lobby. You know what I'm saying? Like, people think, like, I'm in the lobby or something. I don't know. Like, I'm at the sports book. And then after, I'm in the convention center, and it's a real madhouse, bro. Like, you're interviewing people, so you're only really concerned about your work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to get this guy. I'm worried that Dahani Jones isn't going to show up to my table here in a minute. Like, that, yeah, it's sort of like it's a constant stress, and you're on the clock. It's very, very stressful, actually, to be honest. But it's fun. Like, yeah, it's a high wire act, but it's like once you walk in there, man, it's like that. It's go time, man. It's like, it's, you know what a good example? It's like a Wall Street trading floor. Very, it's like the rush, like just, man, it's that media rose over the top. And next year it's going to be as over the top as it's ever going to be because it's in Las Vegas, Mo. Super Bowl, Las Vegas. Here we are next year. How cool is that? You're going to be able to bet on the Super Bowl. Like, the sports books are going to be lit. Forget about going to the game. The sports books are going to be like thousands of dollars to get into the sports book, bro.
Right. And, again, you know the protocol, a lot of guys leave the host city before the game ever happens, right, because we get back home. I don't think it was going to be Vegas, right? I think they're going to stay throughout the
Super Bowl. It's funny you say that, Mo. Yeah. Funny you say that, because I always used to wonder about that. Like, I wonder, like, when I was young and I first, like, media rose and stuff, I met Jim Rome and I said, so where are you sitting for the game, Jim? And he started laughing. He goes, dude, I'm out of here. The second my show is over, I go right to the airport on Friday. Pat McAfee. I said, so when are you leaving? Now. Like, after a show. Like, they're on the air on Monday. Everybody's on the air, right? And you've been there all week. It's time to get out. So you're exactly right. Like, I left Saturday. You know what I mean? Pharrell left Saturday. So I guess I'm a big shot now. The big shots leave, bro. Right? The people that actually are on the air and have show, and people leave. They want to get out of there. They're tired. They're like, I don't want to be in the airport. Imagine the airport on after the Super Bowl, the next day on a Monday. It's a nightmare. You got to be on the air. But it's funny you say that, because I already told them that, Mo. I said today to Scotty Farrell, and I said, Scotty, you have to have my back on this, right? Because I said, I'm going to tell management that next year we're doing the show Sunday in Vegas. We're not leaving on Saturday. And the crazy thing is, Mo, you know how much it pains me when I go pick up my press pass? Like last year in LA, I get to the window, I get my press pass, and the girl says to me, she goes, I'm surprised you didn't get a ticket to the game, too. She goes, you know, you could have gotten a pass. She goes, you know, your pass is good for the game as well, right? And I said, really? And she goes, but you didn't check the box off. My boss doesn't check the box off because he's working me before the shows. So, like, I got a pass. It's even worse, Mo. I could be there. I have a pass. Like, I could be at the Super Bowl every year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could be in there. And, so I told him, my deal is, though, Mo, I'm like, I'm good with it. I told the guys, I said, I'm good with it. But I said, just like I warned them this year, I said, if the Bills make the Super Bowl, for the record, I said, it's different. I said, I'm going in, okay, like point blank. And next year, yeah, we got to do the show, because we'll do the show Sunday from like MGM or something, and it'll be crazy, Mo, in the sports book, right? It's a little bit different, like in a convention center, but I doubt we'll be in a we'll probably be in a sports book. I don't even know if I'll be on Media Row. Like, I will, I won't. Like, I'll be on both type things. I'll be on Media Row, but I'll also probably be in a casino doing my shows, you know?
This might be the most epic Super Bowl for fan interest. For gambling, as you made the point, I think $16 billion was placed on bets for this game alone. Just imagine next year, Gabe, I think we might hit $20-plus billion for gambling and all that stuff here. I think.
Well, you know what's good about this one, Mo? Is if the Super Bowl's in Arizona or, you know, even L.A. or something, it's expensive to go, and there's not really a reason for you to go if you're not going into the game. You know what I mean? Like, look at how big the NFL draft was. people will go to Vegas. They already go to Vegas. So people are going to say, I want to go to Vegas, and I'm going to watch the game at a sports book. So you get to go to Vegas, take in all the fan experience stuff, live the Super Bowl life all week, right, with all the NFL events around the city. You don't need a ticket for that. And then boom, you know, Sunday, everyone's a degenerate anyways. I spoke to a lot of people. I said, tickets are $4,000. They'll say the same thing. I'd rather bet $4,000 and watch it. So, and that's what they're going to do next year. Like every sport book. But the thing is, guys, people don't realize this. Vegas is upscale now. And, Mo, on like even a regular season Sunday, some sports books, bro, it's like $200 to get in. Like, they'll let you, like, get walk in and place a bet, but you're not sitting in a nice leather couch and taking up their space if you don't have money. It's just point blank. Like, it's they don't care. Like, you're, oh, well, what about my business? Good for you. Go bet on a kiosk. You're $10 and have a Bud Light on the sidewalk, but you can't sit in the Bellagio, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and what it is it separates the riffraff, Mo. There's a lot of street people in Vegas, man. Like, and dude, like, they'll take over the book. So I know it sucks. Tourists don't like it. They go, oh, my God, I'm paying $300 for a hotel room. I want to watch the game at a book, and they're telling me it's $80 for a chair, right? But if they don't do it, then you're going to get it, you know what I mean? So I'm just telling you now, for the Super Bowl, man, it'll be $500. It'll be $1,000. Like, it's not just going to be free, guys. It's sports books even. That's what I'm telling you. Like, it's going to cost, like, to even watch everywhere for this, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be off the hook, and it's going to be the first time ever, like, a Super Bowl where, like, there's a sports book. Well, there's a sports book across the street, but just, like, the whole strip and stuff. Like, it's going to be nuts. Like, Vegas is going to be nuts. And they have the F1 going there. Like, that's November right through the Super Bowl. It's going to be lit, bro. Locals are going to hate it, Mo, because they're going to shut the city down. Like, between the F1 going there in November, they're going to shut it down a week before, bro. Like, there's a lot of stuff to set up. So they're going to they're already pissing people off. They're going to shut that down. And then they'll just, then it's going to be a big security thing. And I guarantee you, the NFL's going to like it that the F1 started it. Like, they're going to come in right after and basically say, oh, we're just going to continue the security type thing. Like, it's going to be a massive security. Like, this is the biggest security job in the history of the world, basically. Las Vegas Super Bowl next year. Are you kidding me?
Vegas, you're right. F1 is coming this November. Super Bowl next year. I think the college playoffs are coming at some point in the next 3-4 years. And the Final Four will make its way to Vegas at some point. The Pac-12 has made its roots now with the football final.
I think the Final Four is announced. I'm pretty sure. Like, I think it's in 2 years or next year or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. Exactly. So you know Vegas has now become a sports destination because, Gabe, you know very well, 10 years ago it was taboo. Like, there was the idea of coming to Vegas for sports, forget about it. But now it's been embraced. And if you're going
well, definitely. They're going to have the national title football game there. They just had it in L.A. Yeah. Like, it's going to Vegas in the next couple of years for sure.
Right, and then WrestleMania included as well at some point. So this thing about Vegas right now, 10 years ago they had no professional sports teams of high level. Now they're WNBA, NHL, NFL, probably NBA.
They're going to get the A's. They're going to get the Oakland A's probably. Right. I don't want them to. They should get their own damn team and leave Oakland alone, but it looks like that's what's going to happen.
Right. Then MLS might come in there as well. I mean, it's crazy how Vegas.
Oh, they are. They are. It's official. Well, it's pretty much official. Yeah. MLS, Las Vegas. Two years.
So the NFL is going to reap in so much financial gain next year in Vegas that, you know, they always talk about L.A. man being a part of that rotation every 4 years. Vegas might be that city that could be in the NFL a Super Bowl rotation every 4 or 5 years because of what it generates for revenues for the NFL coffers and for everyone in that local area of Vegas.
I'm surprised that they didn't just come back to FIFA and to Soccer USA and say, listen, we made a mistake. We want in on this as far as the World Cup. Like, how the hell is the World Cup not going there? You know? They didn't bid.
Yeah.
They did not bid.
Yeah, I forget what the story was with that. I remember reading that up somewhere about they were not comfortable. You know, but you're right.
FIFA, they weren't willing to sign over, like, everything. Basically, right. When FIFA comes to town, you go under Swiss law, and they weren't down with it. They were also paying for everything, and you don't get to keep any of the money. Like, FIFA makes the, you can host it, but we take all the money from the tickets and everything, too. There's a lot, like, there was a lot of sort of, yeah, there was sort of governmental stuff that Nevada was just not going to budge on. Same thing with, like, people bitch about Alberta and Canada. Like, oh, Edmonton's been a big supporter of soccer. They didn't bid. They didn't bid. They balked at the terms of the agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think now for Vegas, look, to lose the World Cup, right, whatever, they'll make it up, Gabe. They'll get three, four, five more events. And you know what's going up in the area, right? MSG's building that Spear Dome that's going to open up this fall. They have enough event sites to bring in events, Gabe. So I'm not too worried about Vegas losing out on one or two big events here. They'll make it up in the coming 5 to 10 years of what's going to come their way with all these major sporting events.
I see earlier in the day, I told people in Philadelphia, or I was telling people everywhere, I said, man, you know, they're greasing the poles and stuff already. I said, the only poles that are going to need to be greased on Sunday after they lose are at the strip clubs, all right? Because, you know, the overconfidence. So for the record, there's a massive riot right now in Philadelphia. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. But there is. I'm seeing it's, well, there's a riot, like massive riot. The St. Joe's area, there's multiple riots. Breaking news, multiple riots in Philadelphia. Objects being thrown at police in riot gear. Groups of 200 people or more are now gathering near City Hall. This is just now. Philadelphia police have now declared an active riot scene. Legally, it's an active riot, according to the police scanner. Right now, Mo, I'm looking. So, active riot. Active riots. Oh, they're pissed. Yeah, I see video now. Yeah, they're storming City Hall. What the hell's wrong with you people? What's wrong with people, man? Your team lost. Like, Mo, I'm a Bills fan. I didn't storm anything after they lost, bro, to the Bengals. I said, that sucked, and I lit up a fat spliff, bro. Like, I mean...
And that's silly for you, though, when it comes to sports, right? They boot Santa Claus.
They're not storming the gates January 6th now, but they're on this. I don't know. They're getting close, and they're not in a good mood. I don't know. I don't think they're going there, like, to take pictures. The cops, this is like January 6th. City Hall has been, dude, Philadelphia police are doing a better job of protecting their City Hall than they did the Capitol. I'm telling you what. There's like half the police department in there. They're not playing around. You know, Mo, these Philly cops will start shooting people, too. Like, they're not going to play around, these cops in Philly. I can't say anything. It's not like we've never rioted in Montreal before, Mo, in the old days. Can't call them out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.